Now, today is an international day and Akidwa are holding a big event to celebrate at Killarney Court Community Hall in Upper Buckingham Street. I'm now joined by Donny Tarrant reporting from live from there. Good morning, Donny. How are you?
Good morning and good morning to all your listeners. And you are indeed very welcome here to Buckingham Street, to the Killarney Court Community Hall in Buckingham Street. And may I say, first of all, what a fabulous, fabulous building it is. Teams of people out here this morning on the street. Not a cigarette, but would you see? It's absolutely lovely down here. And I am joined by the communication officer for Akidwa, Sian Kelly. Sian, good morning and welcome to Northside
today. How are you doing? Lovely to see you here. Thanks for coming.
No problem. It's our pleasure. Tell us a bit about the organisation, first of all, would you?
Akidwa was set up in Dublin nearly 20 years ago by Salome Mbugua, our founder, to help and support migrant women to settle in Ireland, to help migrant women get jobs, connect them to services like health services. And 20 years later, we advocate on behalf of migrant women with the government. We connect women in asylum centres. We represent all migrant women, but we especially focus on healthcare needs. So we provide women with access to contraception, to healthcare services, and we basically work with the government and with women and communities, migrant communities all over Ireland.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, in the 20 years since it was founded, I would imagine that with the immigration figures as we see them, the demand on your services has to have increased exponentially.
We definitely have so many more people here seeking asylum, and the direct provision system, I think it's being recognised now how unjust and unfair, and it's just not working. It's lining the pockets of companies that are not even paying tax in Ireland, privately run operations. There's so many people in direct provision. The government is, we've been working with the Department of Justice to find a replacement for the direct provision centre. Salome was in with the Deputy General Secretary of the Department. The government is conscious that direct provision system is unfair, and it wants to replace it with something internationally. It has been recognised that that system is just got to go. But things have got better for migrants now that, thanks to organisations like ourselves advocating, migrants can work now.
We spoke earlier before going on air that I think is generally accepted by all right-thinking and reasonable people that the direct provision system in Ireland is broken.
Totally and utterly broken. Not fit for purpose. Families are separated quite often. Mothers have to share rooms with large families. And the main thing is, as I think you mentioned yourself, there's so many people who have qualifications in their own countries. They fled the war in Syria or chaos in Africa and Sudan, places that are having awful wars, and they have great qualifications, but they're not allowed to work until they've been in the system for at least, I think, 6 months while they're seeking asylum. But, I mean, things are getting better and improved, but everything just needs to be speeded up massively. So I think we will find it, but I think the government is really conscious. It needs to work faster to find a replacement.
Yeah, well, for people listening who may not be familiar with it, it was a system that was set up. And I think the whole purpose of it was that people would be in direct provision for, I think at the time it was a maximum of 6 months, and there are people in it now for almost 20 years.
We know 750 people are in centres across Ireland. Akidwa reaches out to the women, particularly in those centres. We have a mental health project we're called Let's Talk. We have a project called Ideal, which helps women look at their future, get them involved in maybe their school board where their kids are going to school, because that's, people don't really realise, people who are living in direct provision centres have children. Those children are going to Irish schools. The parents often have difficulties like teaching their kids, helping their children to learn Irish. So all of these are areas that Akidwa is trying to help. We're trying to find ways we can support migrant women as mothers, and also we support all kinds of migrant women who are not in direct provision, they're just people who are working, trying to access accommodation. We're really conscious that the government is also working on the housing crisis and the crisis in healthcare. There's a strike today. We need more workers. So many people who are migrants work as doctors in the National Health Service, you know, so we we really are doing our best to represent migrants' interests in every way we can. In terms of work and education and healthcare, they are three big areas.
Yeah, no, I think Salome is ready to join us there. Now, just before we continue on with our chat here, there is something that I would like to point out. And that is that we have, over the last number of years, seen a number of, let us call them, unsavoury incidents down here in the north inner city, and brought a very, I think the word I would use is maybe unfavourable attention on the area. Now, every media outlet in the country, be it print, radio or television, was here to cover those items. But I think it's important that people should know this morning that Near FM is actually the only media outlet down here covering this International Integration Day. So, Salome, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And it's good to have you here this morning.
Now, I believe that congratulations are due to you that President Higgins has nominated you to the Women's Council of Ireland.
Yes, and I'm actually, I was appointed by the President last year as an Irish Human Rights Commissioner, so I serve as a Commissioner for Irish Human Rights with the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission.
And can I bring you back in a second, Shander, on just something else that, you know, I was thinking about when I was coming down here this morning, but I was thinking about it yesterday. I would have a very good knowledge of this area of the city. And indeed, I would know an awful lot of people from here. And I suppose maybe to reiterate something that I said earlier, the most decent, hardworking, honest-to-God, real dubs that you'd meet are from around here. And it's something I'd like both of you to address. From my knowledge of this area, it appears to me, just looking at it, that migrants seem to be able to integrate into this community much easier than they are into other communities around the country. Why is that, do you think?
You were talking about this earlier, Salome, about how there's more migrants live in this part of Dublin than possibly in other parts of Ireland. So there's a larger community here, isn't there?
There's actually, yeah, and I wish Mick and Patricia are here because they are the North Dublin inner city, and Mick actually himself was a councillor. He worked quite a lot with Akidwa. We got the office here back in 2011. So we've been here almost 9 years, and actually this is the most, I wouldn't say that the best area to live in for me. People would talk about Northern City like it's a very bad part of the country, but actually I don't see anywhere I would want to be than this place, because for me I've never experienced all those things people talk about, you know, so there are perceptions and views that people have which are very, very negative about Northern City, where actually you find people are very compassionate. There are people who are welcoming, and like if anyone is lost with the directions, they will direct them. So we have had so many people coming here. We've held a lot of events in the Northern City, and we've never had a problem. And it's true, we have a lot of migrants who are concentrated in Dublin inner city, living here, so which means for them they have had a very good experience living with the indigenous. I say, Darian, when I was talking to the people here, that since 2013, we developed a kind of a project which is called Dublin Women for One City, One People. And actually, that was Akidwa and indigenous women of this area. It was facilitated by Mick and Patricia, again, whom I said will be here later. And that went very well. Many people from this area came, you know, to engage with migrants and to dialogue and to actually discuss on the issues that are happening here. And one of the things that, for example, we had come up with was to set up a cleaning kind of routine for the Northern City, and maybe to come up with other activities that will make people involved and engaged, you know, with each other. So we are trying. I think people in Northern City are trying quite a lot to do quite a lot of things. And it's very safe. It's a nice place. We wouldn't actually want to be anywhere else. For me, I would love to be here, and I'm very happy to be within the Northern City.
Yeah, and I can definitely reiterate and echo those comments, because, I mean, yes, you will get, I suppose, undesirable people, but they are in every area. They're not just concentrated here. And as I said, I think it's disgraceful, actually, is the comment I'll use, that when something bad happens here, every media outlet in the country is here. Today is a celebration of what can be done when people come together, and it's, well, I can say on behalf of Near FM that we're very, very proud to be here. Shan, can I bring you back in this time? And just run through what's happening today, because it's a quite diverse and varied day's programme, isn't it?
And I think what's great about the programme today is we've got a lot of the organisations here that are supporting migrants. We've got Dr. Peter Sheikhi is here from the Language Services, Intercultural Language Services. He's talking about their storytelling project, and that's a drop-in where people can come to learn languages. And that's a huge thing for migrants, to be able to learn a little bit more English at different levels. I'm an English teacher myself, so I've been working with migrants as well. And there's so many. Ireland is quite good through the Cairdhe and other projects too. Migrants can learn languages for free. But there's a new report out from ASRI yesterday that shows local governments across the country, they just need to work a little bit harder at setting up classes where people can go to learn English. They need to be free. They need to be at times that suit women who have children. And so I think more free and high-quality English language classes. So Dr. Peter Sheikhi will be talking about that and the intercultural language services. We also have Greta Keegan on from the Irish Refugee Council, which is just around the corner from us. And Greta's their employment officer. She's going to be talking about supports that migrants can access in getting work, like training and things.
And it's just important, Sian, just before we continue on to the next item on the day's schedule, that the legislation in relation to the ability of migrants to work has changed recently.
Yeah, it did, because, and this is something that we have been advocating for a long time as an organization, you know, through the research and the reports that we have done and through the support that we've given women around the country for the last 18 years. So the right to work for people seeking asylum has been actually denied for a long time. And just last year, the government allowed a group of asylum seekers to work. Those are the people who would have been here up to 6 months, you know, and they've not received any letters of deportation or anything like that. So we have a lot of people now who are allowed to work. The actually key challenge is to help them find the job. Yeah, because there's also, you know, we are actually picking up from the down economy, you know, we had economic turndown. And so we are trying to help such people to be able to engage into the labor market so that they can get their feet into the country.
Yeah, and of course it makes absolute economic sense, because if a person is working and generating an income, they're contributing, number one, to their community by way of work, but obviously they're contributing to the exchequer by way of taxes instead of sitting, wasting away in a direct provision centre and money being put at them and no come back at all from it.
Exactly, and so we're finding that migrants are able to access employment when they have the right support. And we're building links as well with other services like AIMTUS and the National Learning Network. They came in to us yesterday to tell us there are supports out there that exist. But people in direct provision might not know how to access them, so that's where we come in. We provide a link, resources, information, and just a friendly voice to tell people, this is where you go, this is what you do. If you have a special need, like if you've had female genital mutilation in your own country, if you're threatened with that, where can you go to get specialist help? And Ireland, thanks to Acredua now, Ireland has specialist services to help women who've suffered that.
Yeah, and I believe that the Lifeline programme may actually be touching on that topic in the coming weeks. It's also important, I suppose, for the listeners that I should sort of paint a picture here. The hall, as I said, is absolutely gleaming down here. It's a fabulous centre. Now, when I arrived this morning, Sian, very welcoming, got the coffee, the whole lot, and there were quite... The hall was practically, I would say, three quarters full of chairs. And just before going on air, I noticed that there were people actually bringing in additional chairs and tightening up the space. So it's a massive attendance here, really, isn't it?
We're so thrilled that so many people are supporting us from the local community. Lots of people just dropped in, but a lot of people saw our website, akidwa.ie, and we're on Twitter as well, @akidwa, and on Facebook. And that's how we're reaching the young migrant women. We have projects that show young migrant women, for instance, how to make videos, how to become broadcasters. And we'd love, great to be with community radio stations as well.
Now, the other, come on, Sian, back to work for you now. Run through it and tell me what else is happening here today, because this is running right up until 3 o'clock today. So let's see what else is happening.
We've got turbans, and maybe Salome, you can tell us about turbans. That's a very exciting project, isn't it?
Yeah, just some of the other people that we have, Susanna Komolafe, actually, who been working on a new book, which is actually highlighting issues of women and what has been happening in Ireland for the last over 15 years when she's been here. But she works on many other things, like she does sessions with women where they cover a range of issues about health, economic and social. We also have the Turbanites, you know, these are actually from mainly from the Afro-Atlantic diaspora, and they do the head wraps where they will actually be demonstrating, because many people do see, you know, the African culture, which is, for example, very, very rich in terms of dressing. So people wonder, how do they tie all these things they put in their head, and how do they maintain them in the head without falling? So they'll be doing demonstration, and they'll be talking about their culture through that, and how, you know, they get to engage and dialogue with people because of what they're actually wearing and such kind of things. After lunch then, which will be provided by Madina, we'll have networking information sharing, where we also have things like henna being applied to people, you know, the tattoos going on. So it's really quite a full program for the whole day. But we're very happy that, you know, people can be able to come into the inner city and find that, you know, confidence to come here, but not only confidence, but time to be within this area.
Chad, is this the first one of these days, these integrational days?
No, we've had many of them. We have them every year, don't we?
Yes.
And we've always had food and we've had activities. And today, it's close to Bloomsday. It's usually in June.
Yeah.
We're celebrating Bloomsday. And Salome mentioned Mick Raftery, our former councillor. Mick and Patricia have worked with Akidwa so much. Mick will be doing a reading of James Joyce to mark Bloomsday today, so I'm really looking forward to that because everyone in Ireland loves James Joyce. And
yeah, I just want to say that today is International Refugee Day, so we are celebrating the life of refugees and many refugees who have ended up in Ireland. You know, their life, their resilience, but also they have helped even our organisation to learn on how to work and to deal with issues that are very complicated. So today is Irish, it's the World Refugee Day, and I would really like to congratulate and thank all the refugees for the work they are doing, because we have very strong refugees who have settled here.
Well, I think that on that note, we couldn't pick a better sign-off, I suppose, than that. On behalf of everybody at Near FM, the people back at base, our listeners, can I thank you for having us here today? It has been our pleasure to bring this and bring these interviews to the people. Thanks so much for having us and inviting us.
You're so welcome. And we would love to work with Near FM more in the future. We'd love some migrants to be interns, learning how to make a radio with you. And also, we'd love to go and talk to you about our FGM work as well in the future. So we've watched this space. There's lots more. It's from Akidwa.
And on that note, I will hand it back to you in the studio. And as I said, from everybody here in Buckingham Street, it has been our pleasure to be here. All I'll say is, don't believe everything you read and hear in the media, because this is living proof that it's not all correct.
Thanks, Donnie. That was great. Now, that was Donnie reporting live from Akidwa Celebrate Intercultural Day.